not getting on the bus, he's taking a little black car. Well, he probably won't.
You asked me what I was thinking.
I'm not gonna ever do that.
Don't ever ask me that.
Remember in order to talk, make the loop, we have to talk about verse 16, 17, and 18 together. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And it is good that thou should take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. When the scriptures talk about, especially in Revelation, where it talks about you should be either hot or cold, or because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. This is what this is talking about. Now, it's good to take hold of this. What is it good to take hold of? It's good to take hold of that we push everything to the limit, either by experience or empathy, so that there is no more of these little pipe dreams where you think that, oh, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and then you go, oh, then all the world is going to be wonderful. And you live in your mind, and you never do anything. So when people ask me, well, how can you possibly repent from the mind talk? It's very simple. You find out that the mind talk is dumb. Come now, let us reason together, the scriptures say. So everybody uses that half of it. Oh, come on, let us reason. We're going to sit down and reason together. The only thing that the highest reason can take you is to chaos. And if you look at with any integrity at science, at all of the disciplines of science, all the disciplines of sociology, of anything, there's no more utopia. There's no more, oh, I'm going to Paris. Or there's no more, I'm going to do this. Because it is evident to all that all is empty. All is fruitless. And all of your efforts that you've done so far have only been to show you that. Oh, no, I'm just trying to sincerely find God. No, you're not. I'm trying to sincerely give you power and intelligence and understanding and control. Amen. How come I got in a rant? I was going to... This
I don't know, but you're hurting my ears.
You went from like 0 to 60.
I felt really bad when I started. Now I feel good.
You know my plan.
That's how you do your stress test.
Yeah.
Hook him up.
Give him a shot.
You see, does anybody hear what I'm saying? Do you understand it?
Yeah.
Anybody.
Does anybody think their thoughts are sweet? Oh, I've got a plan. Oh, I've got another project. Oh, I've got a deal. No, you don't. You put blinders on so you ignore all of the crap you've done before, and now this time you're going to do the same damn thing again, but the results are going to come out different. No, they're not. They haven't for anybody in history. Oh, we've got these great men. No, you don't. You've got propaganda. Oh, we've got the history of this and that. No, you don't. It's propaganda. We don't know history. We know the propaganda of the victors. I just want you to push everything to the limit so you don't live in that little stupid imaginary universe. What?
You said you weren't going to do that again.
What?
Ronnie just came in exactly on time, 8 minutes late.
So that's what you're thinking about?
That's what I thought when I saw him walk through the door. I'm sorry.
Well, that's Ronnie.
I didn't attach anything to it. It's a simple statement. Don't ask me what I'm thinking.
That's the same thing that that's not the same words, but it's the same thing that Mr. John over there told me the other day.
How's that?
You want to know what I'm thinking all the time? You, I'm just going to say it?
I always try to control me by finding out what I'm thinking.
You don't remember that discussion?
No, I don't know.
Remember when I'm talking about instead of just trying to figure out if it's me to just explode and say what I'm thinking all the time?
I said that?
Yeah.
In a moment of
it was like a
passion.
Yes, I do. I want you to say what you're thinking all the time. I want you to stop trying to be and just be.
Give him some of your sweet thoughts.
Wait a minute.
Did
you accusing me of trying
say?
To be?
No. I'm not accusing you of anything. I just read the book of Jude, and it's all about John Bojo.
I'm just trying to be.
No, I want you to take hold of this so this becomes your life instead of just thinking about thinking about it.
See, that's an oxymoron right there. You can't do that.
You can look at yourself with some integrity, and you can find out you don't have to be a madman anymore, continually do the same things that you did all these other times and think that the results are going to be different. Because you've added a new thing to it. You've added a new ingredient to the witch's brew. Now this time the results are going to be different. I want you to push all things. I want you to take everything to the limit. I want you to take it more farther to the limit than you can ever conceive of. I want you to look at history to see the people that have taken it to the limit. Look at power brokers, if that's what you want. Look at rich men, if that's what you want. Look at it with integrity and see if that's what you really want. Oh, I would just win the lottery. Look at the people that have won the lottery. Is that what you want? Oh, I just want to be a hero. In other words, that's the theory guy. I just want to be... What?
No.
That's not the air guy thing anymore?
No. I'm realizing over the last week that something new is happening in me. And it's about the thing you wrote about one time about making your cup smaller. At first I was concerned because I thought I was getting lazy or I thought I was losing ambition or something. But what's actually happening is that scripture about every man will sit under his own fig tree, under his own vine. For the first time in my life, I don't feel like I have to reach out to grab something, go someplace to do something, try to get something. I just want to sit under the tree that I'm under, and just be there. And if you call me up and say, I need this, then I want to do that. But I no longer want to try to think of things to do and reach and try to be any place other than sitting under my own fig tree.
That's perfect.
And I can't believe it. It's wonderful.
Anybody else have any response?
I want to go sit under this fig tree. That was a pretty good spot.
I know what you're talking
about. Will you share your figs?
Talking about the difference between living in your imaginary universe and living now. Because the imaginary universe will always seduce you. Now, if that's what it takes for you to come to the end of it, then you have to be seduced. That's why I've said so often, I don't want you here if you've got all these things going on. You shouldn't be here because it's stupid. You know, remember I've been talking, a few times I've talked about Mark Miller lately?
Yeah.
I got an email from him yesterday.
No kidding.
And then I sent him a black one, and then he sent me another one. But it's like, I mean, he's a person that okay, I can't listen to this and do what I have set my hand to do. And that's being hot or cold. That's why the idea that I would ever try to entice somebody to come here is ludicrous. It's the antithesis of what we're about. I try to sell somebody on the benefits of becoming a believer. Take hold. Talk about this. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody?
You weren't going to talk about what?
I wanted to go on to verse 19 and 20. I made a stupid mistake and reviewed what we said the last couple of days.
Oh.
This is the essence. This is the gist of the gospel, as I understand it. Nothing's going on. Nobody has any response to this.
Well, just for the sort of thing when you talk about living in your mind rather than trying something from experience. I've had a tremendous impulse in that direction to stay closed, and I'd rather, like, I'm thinking over many years, I'd rather plan out how to learn something than go to somebody that already knows how to do it and, you know, talk about it. Would rather lean that way of thinking about it.
And that's
a lot of experience with that.
Yeah, and that is your particular. It's not that you shouldn't do that. It's that if that's what's necessary for you to come to the end and see the vanity of whatever it is, then you got to do it. It's not that your way of doing it should be the same as Harry's or anybody else's, but whatever is necessary to be hot or cold, just don't be lukewarm. And you're lukewarm in the spiritual definition, or you're not hot or cold, or you're not taking hold of this, when you live in the reality of, I mean, the unreality of your own thought process about what it will be if you get it, or what it will be if you achieve it, and that becomes your food. And that's what gives you pleasure, and gives you excitement, and gives you fulfillment, because you're living in this imaginary world thought process, eating imaginary food. That's why the scriptures in Isaiah are so important. It's like when a hungry man sleeps, and in his sleep he dreams that he eats bread, and he wakes up and he's hungrier than he was when he was before he went to sleep. Well, that's what it is. Wake up. Stop living in your dreams. Push everything to the limit. Because that's the only way that you can be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Every trip that you take in your mind and these little, wonderful little journeys, sweet, wonderful little images, is you're fornicating according to Scripture, spiritually. That's why this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Abstain meaning be fed up with it. You can't abstain from fornication if you're not fed up with it. People say, well, I forgot. I went out in the world and I forgot the doctrine. Well, you didn't forget the doctrine. You just weren't fed up with yourself. You can't forget. The fornicating was more important than the mystery of God. You understand that? It's like telling a teenage boy not to think of sex.
What?
Hosea says this simply. He says, if you go any place other than God himself, or anything, it's fornication. In the olden days, when I was driving to Oklahoma all the time with Mr. Bojo, when he heard this before, but forgive me, I'm not very bright, so I have to repeat things. We'd go past this one area of stretch of road, and it was jillions of trees. And I'd look at John every time and say, tell me which tree you haven't committed fornication under. And I say that to all of you, and all of me. Tell me which tree you haven't fornicated. Which green tree? Because you're always looking for the green tree in your mind. The green tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you didn't eat it. Our forefather did. And so that's the curse. Now you're cursed, so you have to go through the process of seeing that all of the green trees, and who knows what kind of trees they are, that's dependent on your own mind and your own. But whatever they are, you've got to make sure that you know that they're all lead to emptiness, futility. But you've got a million.
You use that word process.
What?
Process.
Well, it's process because it's the only way you can come to the end of your rebellion. Because you're an idiot. How's that? You love witchcraft more than faith. How's that? That was not necessarily pointed only at you. Pointed at
you.
Okay. It's pointed at Buckner.
You should have heard what he said.
See what I get for trying to help you there?
Yeah. I did appreciate it, but...
Does everybody at least conceptually, I don't care whether you buy it or agree with it right now, do you at least understand what I'm saying? Is there anybody that doesn't understand this? You've got the biggest pine forest in the universe in your mind.
Pine forest.
Everybody, so by your silence, and you must understand. You understand that there isn't any place, there isn't anything that you can do, there isn't. God is mocking every one of your ideas, every one of your plans, every one of your hopes, every one of your dreams. He's mocking. He's speaking to you with a mocking voice, and he has been. And if you look anywhere with any intellectual integrity, that's all you will see. But your mind twists it and says, oh no, for me, that thing that looks like it's mocking me is really, that's what God wants for me. No. How far is heaven from hell? The distance between the book of Ecclesiastes and the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day, which is one nanosecond. You can't get to the eighth day without understanding vanity. All your hopes and all your dreams, all of the engine of the world, the thing that's made progress happen, possible in the world, the thing that's made inventions and fortunes and business. It's the engine of the world. And yet every idea, every plan, every invention, since the day of the cross, there's been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. And that history has been now repeated in you. Every good idea you've had has been an attempt to flee his revelation. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. You are complete in him now.
it's even in the Bible. It's like, you all over. That's fine.
Should be some modicum of seeing. I don't care what you see it right now. I care if you disagree with me.
Gosh. Actually, I don't disagree.
Okay. I want somebody to argue it. I'm just picking on you.
I could argue other things, but no, I understand what you're saying.
Are any of you so intimidated by my presence that you won't speak? Take a big guy.
The record that was set.